Welcome to Empire Building, the podcast where we talk about building big businesses and even bigger lives. I'm your co-host, Seychelle Van Poole, and today we have a very special episode for you because Sarah Reynolds and I actually recorded a live episode, and we wanted to share it with you because it's a really powerful session that we got to do on how to 10X your business and what are the absolute tactical things you can put in your business today to 10X your revenue. So I hope you enjoy us. It's going to be a two-part episode, and we put a lot of energy and heart into this one to bring you value, and I hope that it's a great episode for you too. So let's dive right on in.
So welcome to Empire Building, the podcast where we talk about building big businesses and even bigger lives. I'm your co-host, Sarah Reynolds.
And I'm Seychelle Van Poole. Hi, guys. So it's so fun that we get to do this because this is kind of what it's like when we're recording, except we're not face-to-face.
I know.
We're on Zoom. So, or I guess on Riverside, it's really nice to get to do this in person. And when we were prepping for you all today, it was so fun because it felt so natural when we're collaborating and putting together these episodes. It's like literally falls into place every single time. So we have some really, really, really good implementable things for you all to 10X your business. And the fun part about doing this live with you all instead of within our little recording studio is this is an interactive session. So if you have questions, if you have ideas, if you have thoughts, if you have things to share, we're all better together. So if there's something that you're doing that's killing it, we want to hear about it. If there's something you're struggling with and you have questions, we'll have mic runners and we can help answer those. Sound good?
Love it. Love it. Okay, so we've got, do we have 7 or 8 steps, say? To 10X.
You're asking
me? We should
me?
Have had 10.
Oh. I'm always... No,
oh,
no,
my goodness.
No, because we have good content. We're going to have, like, deep conversations.
Yes, we will.
And
we will.
I'm always the one that screws up the numbers, so you
That's
should
true.
Not be asking me this question.
This is very true.
We have 7.
Yes.
We have 7.
Okay, so get out your pen. Get out your notebook. It's going to be really good. Don't make the mistake I make when I record with Seychelle. Okay, when I record with Seychelle, it's like I don't hear her. And then when I listen to it, I'm always like, she's the smartest one of us all. I'm like, oh my gosh, that was brilliant. I'm like, pull over. Did you hear what Say just said?
I'm like,
and I was like,
hello?
Wait a second. I was on there with her and I didn't hear it. So don't do that. Okay, take good notes. Okay, because this is a huge, huge and important topic for everyone today. Okay, so the very first step in 10Xing your revenue is to do something that I call build fences.
What does
build
that mean,
Sarah? Fences. Okay. So a fence is, what is the purpose of a fence?
Right, okay, keeping things out or keeping things in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so to block things from either coming in or, right, going out. Right. So we want to build fences in our business. So I was being interviewed for the Millionaire Real Estate Agent podcast by Jason Abrams last Friday. And he was like, this concept that you've been talking about building fences is, he said, I've never heard it before. And I was like, really? He's like, well, tell me more about what it means.
Yeah.
Okay. And so what it means is that you want to focus on one thing at a time when it comes to revenue building, generating items. Now, did anyone just hear that and get really disappointed?
Literally.
Okay, yeah, let's be truthful. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, meaning most of us in this room are like, we want to do all the shiny things. We want to do all the revenue, fun,
yeah,
generating things.
Absolutely.
Right? And what I learned to 10X your revenue is that when we do that, we actually don't get any good result because we're focusing on too much at one time. Okay, so you want to build fences. So you want to focus on one thing at a time, generating thing at a time. Okay, and then once you have it going, meaning you get the revenue from it, you then build a fence around the people and the money, the resources that it took to make that happen in terms of a return. So let's give an example. Okay, so if you do demographic farm or a geographic farm, and let's say you're in real estate, okay? Now this applies to any business, these things that we're gonna talk about today, okay? But let's say you're farming an area, and so you're doing a direct mail piece, okay? And you're gonna send it out once a month, okay? What you wanna do is you wanna start sending it out once a month. That costs money, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it takes resources, people, to actually make it happen. Now, some of those could be on your team, some of those could be outsourced. And so you're focusing on how do you make the newsletter, how do you make that direct mail piece get a return? And you're testing different things, you're doing different calls to action while you're sending it out. And then once you start getting calls, okay, you're gonna continue to do it, but the mistake that I see most people make is they take the person that was doing the generating the direct mail piece and or the money, and they shift it to something else like midway through doing it.
That's so common, actually.
So common.
And a lot of these things, like for direct mail, it's a time on task over time sort
yes.
of thing. So there are some things, which we're gonna talk about number two, that are gonna generate quick revenue. A direct mail piece is something that can at times take patience.
Yes.
And tweaking. Like if you're not getting results right away from that, maybe you need to tweak the message.
Yep.
And tweak the message until it is driving inbound results.
Yep. The thing here is when you shift people or resources, so you just say like, oh, I'm gonna take some of the money from this direct mail piece and I don't have the money for the next lead generation thing I wanna do. Okay, and you just shift the money. Sometimes you will grow your revenue, but most times you either stay the same or you actually go backwards because you're starting over again.
Yeah.
Okay, and I see this mistake happen over and over and over again. Leaders, they start something, it doesn't work right away. They shift the money that they were putting towards that to something else. And then it's a pattern. They keep doing it over and over and over again. And
I'm going to raise my hand just right now. I have absolutely done that. Has anyone else? Like, I'm like, oh, that's me.
This was the biggest thing. So when my mom put me in charge of the team, this is the biggest thing I saw that she was doing.
Yeah.
And I was like, and sometimes it worked. And then I'm like, why did you stop doing it? Why did you move money and people over here when that was working?
Because that was cool and shiny yes. over there and yeah. new and fancy and it looks great.
She's like, well, this sales guy, he said this was magic. And I'm like, okay. All right, so I know this isn't a sexy number one for 10 extra revenue. Okay, and it's crucial because if you don't understand this principle, then none of the other things we're about to say matter.
I think that's fair. Well, and sometimes 10Xing and sexy are not always the same thing.
True.
But the 10X that you get is sexy.
Yes.
So
yes.
It's just sometimes getting there, right? That's a little hard. So number two is actually sometimes to move forward, we have to look backwards. And so what you want to go do is you want to take a look at your revenue over the last 24 months. And we want you to take a look at your number one or number two sources of revenue. Okay? Like number one or number two. Don't get into the weeds on the rest of it and overanalyzing it right now. Just look at what was your number one and your number two generators of revenue. And we want you to triple down on that. Okay? And that can be a person that's a source of your business. That can be a, like, revenue generating lead source, but whatever that is, we want you to take those one or two things and like triple down. So if you're not tripling down on that first, don't go build a new fence.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Go do that first because you're already showing that you can get success with it. You're already showing that you know how to do it. You're already showing, we actually just aired a podcast episode not long ago on how to increase your revenue off of things you're already doing, right? To increase your conversion off of what you're already doing. But really, really, really triple down. If there's something working in your business, and sometimes it's surprising, y'all. Sometimes you look back and you're like, oh, I actually didn't realize it that.
Yeah.
Number one source. Like, so for us, foreclosures are coming back in our business. And so we're really like doubling down on our relationships right now with asset managers. Pamela, do you have a question up there? Can we get a mic runner? We'll get you, Pamela.
So while that's happening, let me tell a story. So I hired a coach. This is maybe 8 years ago. And I had like, we had no money to add any lead gen. Like it was, we had zero.
Yeah.
Okay. And I told him, I said, my money for lead gen is going to pay you. Mm-hmm. I said, so I don't have any money. Okay, so don't tell me to go spend money on some new thing, okay? Yeah. And we did this exercise and it was so powerful. And so we took our top sources from the last 24 months. Okay, that's how far we want you to go back, okay? And we just said, okay, how can we do more of just those three sources? Okay, so for example, if you're a dentist and you have a referral partner, you go to a BNI group or a networking group and you get a lot of your business from that, okay? How can you meet with more of the other people in the networking group three times it? So if you met with one a week, okay, can you meet with three a week?
Right.
Okay, well, not can you, we want you to meet with three a week, okay? You're wanting to triple it, okay? If you're in real estate, if sign calls is a big thing, can you add another call to action on your signs or somewhere as part of your sign call system, okay? So look at your sources and figure out how can I do more from the money that you're already spending? Mm-hmm. That makes sense? Pamela?
Yes, ma'am. And stuff. I know that the name is 10 times your revenue, but you're saying go back and look for the last 24 months for your number two source of revenue. What do you guys think about us looking for the number one and number two source of profit? Because sometimes my source of revenue, I'm spending a lot of money to get that, as opposed to making a more profitable on some of these other things, but the revenue is less.
You're such a good student, Pamela. We do have.
I hope Sarah listens to this later and thinks, "Oh my God, Pam is smart like St.
First of all, we want to welcome live Pamela to the Empire Building Podcast. Welcome Pamela to the Empire Building Podcast.
Yes, you are awesome. No, I think profit in business is always the end goal, right? We don't make money to spend all the money to have no money, right? Definitely not the goal. And so, Pamela, something I really respect about you is you're a great business person. And you look to protect profit and build a healthy business. And so those are some of the things we're going to talk about today is building a healthy business where you sleep at night knowing you have healthy profit is a part of that. I think if you have enough insight into your business to understand not only what drives revenue, but what also is driving the bottom line in profit, you absolutely do that. If you do not have enough insight in your business yet to do that, we know that if we can get top line revenue growing, we can remargin the business in other ways to get to the profit. The other thing I will tell you too is when you're margining something, what Sarah is saying is so good of tripling your activity, that means it has to be reflected on your calendar. So while we're margining things, you have got to make room in the margins of your calendar for these activities. And so that might mean you chunk all of your meetings to 1 or 2 days a week if you have a team or you have people you're accountable to so that you have bigger blocks of time to focus on these things. So those margins have to happen in your business. They also have to happen in your calendar. And we are not recommending you're taking away from your family or your health to do this. So that means that you've got to figure out how to get smarter with your calendar when you're making room for this activity, because we're not going to sacrifice ourselves to do this. Make sense? Okay.
Love that. I think in addition to what Say said, and that was so smart, and if you didn't catch what she said, I'm going to really amplify it. She said, if you have enough insights into your business, then that is an okay way to make a decision. That's a very tricky, like my mind right now is going crazy on actually how to do that, because I actually think there's a flaw in that, Pamela. Okay, for example, okay, we do mass media as one of our lead gen pillars in my real estate business, okay? Mass media, if I just look at mass media one-on-one, okay, then I would say that's not very profitable.
And it looks expensive.
What?
And it looks expensive on the P&L.
And it's not very, like if I just do that, look at that, it would be deceiving, okay? Because it would say that's not profitable, okay? But mass media gets signs in the ground. Mass media gets other online leads from those listings, right? So it's like that, it would be a very bad business decision for me to look at one thing and say, okay, what's the profit of that one thing if that one thing also contributes to other leads and other business coming in? So just be really careful by siloing, Okay, what you want to look at is what is the top three sources of revenue for you last year. Go all in on tripling your activities, tripling what you're doing for those top three sources over the last 24 months. Go back 24 months.
Yeah.
Okay. And it is the most powerful exercise to do. And that alone can actually 10x your revenue.
Yeah.
That's what it did for us.
Yep.
It's just changing the way we look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Number three.
Number three is we're going to, if you are in an area where there's competitors, which I think all of us are, we want you to go and do a competitive analysis of what your competitors are doing. I love this. We're riding in a car to Tiffany's house this week, and Sarah's taking pictures of billboards on the way of competitors, literally, y'all. It's so fun. But so do a competitive analysis of, now that you know what you're doubling or tripling down on for your activity, go do a competitive analysis of what other people are doing in that space or in your geographic area or to your like database or to your list. And the best part about this is you're going to take that competitive analysis and you're going to do a SWOT analysis, right? Strengths, yep. Weaknesses, opportunities, and threats for your business when you're looking at that. And we actually talk about how we like to switch it around and actually do strengths, weaknesses, threats, and then opportunities at the end. So we like to put the opportunities at the end of that instead of at the
ending with something positive.
Yeah. We like to end
with
opportunity.
You know the direction you're going in.
Yeah. I don't like ending with threats. I want to end with opportunity, people.
It's just that switcho doesn't sound as good.
It's not as
SWOT,
that's
so.
Not as sexy.
Yeah, so.
Switcho. It does sound like a
switcho. Do a switcho, okay, guys? Okay. And so what you want to look at when you're doing competitive analysis is how to set yourself apart. What value does that competitor offer? Okay. And you don't want, I'm not a big believer in duplicating. I'm a big believer in being different.
That's exactly.
Differentiating.
Yes. We're going to, as soon as we finish that switcho, we are going to go where the others are not. Because if we're copying them, we're creating imposter syndrome for ourselves because we're just going to compare ourselves to them the whole time, right? And none of y'all were made to be copies of anybody else. We already know that. There's a 1 in 94 million chance that anyone else is like you. But chances are your superpowers actually are going to lend you to differentiate yourself differently. But you have to understand what your competitors are offering so that you can look at your value, which we're going to get to in a second, and offer something different. So once you understand what the competitive market landscape looks like, we're going to go where the others are not. Right? Are we going to go enter into a market where somebody has 60 to 70% market share or 30 to 40% market share? How hard is that hill going to be to climb? Right? But if we look a little bit over and that's a wide open area, that's going to be so much easier to penetrate, less expensive, and much more effectively. But we have to understand what that landscape looks like to get there.
I love that. One of my favorite shows is how the food that built America. Okay, it's on History Channel. Yes, I'm such a dork. Okay, yes. Okay, I'm still waiting for the women that built America because apparently we didn't. Okay, per History Channel, because they have the men that built America as well. Okay, so the food that built America, and I heard that there's the toys that built America that just came out. I haven't watched it yet. Anyways, the food that built America. It was fascinating because I did not know this was actually Wendy's strategy.
Mm-hmm.
So when Wendy's, the fast food restaurant, okay, was trying to grow, they were really struggling anytime that they were in a location of another fast food restaurant. And so they would find the zip codes in areas that had no other fast food restaurants. And some of them were small and people thought that they were silly and stupid for doing that because there wasn't the demographics or the data to back up the decision. And that's actually what led to their success, is they just went where someone else wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so if look to, like, in real estate, you would look at your farm area, right? If there's already someone that has over 5% market share, that is going to take most likely 2 to 3 years for you to penetrate that. Whereas if you pick an area that doesn't have someone mm-hmm. that has that market share, you will grow much, much faster.
And in those geographic areas, just to make sure we're giving you a couple things that we both look for, you want to make sure you have enough turnover in that market, Because if it's a really steady, stable market and no one's turning over in that market, and I don't care if you're selling boats or if you're selling houses or what you're selling. If there's not enough turnover, it doesn't matter how much market share you get. It's going to be such a small percentage that it's not going to make sense. So make sure you're looking at that. And don't forget, if you are doing something like direct mail, it costs the same amount of postage no matter where you mail it. So you can mail to apartments the same as you can mail to multi-million dollar places. It's the same amount of postage. So pick not only your turnover, but pick a market that you feel like you can dominate from a skill set standpoint to be able to do that, because it's going to cost the same amount of money no matter where you go.
So good. The other thing is I would highly recommend you actually also do it on yourself. So when you're doing a competitive analysis, you're looking at what the competitor is offering, you're doing it on yourself. So what we do is we actually hire shoppers. So I learned in retail. So anyone here have a background in retail? Okay, and then, so when you were working retail, right, you would get prepped, like, okay, we get shopped sometimes, like, how quickly do you smile at them? How quickly do you greet them, right? And so you get scored. And so I took that from my background in retail, and I said, okay, I'm shopping my team. So I found a shopping company that you can pay. They shop open houses. They will shop, they will pretend and be a seller, right? And all of the things, so they're shopping not only sometimes the competitor, but shopping your own people to make sure you're inspecting what you expect. Okay, so do a competitive analysis on yourself. If you were removed, what would you see and what would you say about your business?
That's so good. So, so good. And you can have a friend do it too, if they don't know who the friend is. So,
hey, question here.
Rita.
Stand up. What do you mean by turnover? Leaving? People leave.
Yes. Well, or so for your example, you're in medical, right? So where do the bulk of your clients come from? Where would you say that your business comes from right now?
I go to like nursing homes and skilled nursing facilities. So I go to them.
Right.
But
so
well, you'll have great turnover with that Legion pillar.
I'm like, this is gonna be a hard one because
that's we were all thinking it. Like with baby boomers and the aging generations, I think you're good. Okay.
So you have fertile ground for your lead gen source.
In the real estate business, turnover means is there enough people moving? Okay. In your case, is there enough people that need you in the nursing home?
Right. Okay. And for yours, yes. I would look at the size, right? Like this is part of your business reliant on like how many patients you see?
Yeah.
Okay. So then what I would be looking at is like how many beds are in that facility?
Uh-huh. That's
and what's the average occupancy of that building, right? Uh-huh. Or of that facility, having just had to shop that for my dad not too long ago, right? Like taking a look, and I would also look at for you, because you're building relationships with the facility, what's the longevity of the medical director there? So that you're building one relationship longer term versus if someone has turnover every 3 months with their medical director or every 6 months, then you're having to go back and start over again every time. And so I would be looking at the longevity of that director and how long it's going to take you to build the relationship there. But, you know, it's also, too, if they're really hard to get in with, the one that turns over every 3 months might not be a bad gig because you're like, well, you're here today. You'll probably be gone tomorrow. So if you say no, I have a better chance with you again next time. Right. So that could be an option, too.
Thanks.
You're really looking at how much opportunity there is in whatever field you're in to help people.
Mm-hmm. We've got one over here too.
Awesome.
Hey, Rachel. Sorry.
Hi. For real estate, when you're looking at the area to farm, is there an easier way to look for the higher than 5% turnover in somebody that has that area that doesn't have so much market share with one agent than just going through the MLS and mass compiling that? I mean, that seems like that would take a really long time to figure out per area. Have you ever seen any software anywhere that does that?
I don't trust any of that stuff, even if there was one. Like, to be honest, not so maybe, with something like this.
Yeah.
It does take a long time, and it's the most important thing you can do.
Yeah.
Or have done for you. You can get a VA to do too, right?
Yeah, like, you can have a VA do it.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Yeah, and I like to ask, like, our go research the mail carrier routes is what I like to search by. Because if I'm going to mass mail, I want to mail to a mail carrier route because it's cheaper. So I do my competitive analysis by mail carrier route and then look up the penetration of competitive analysis that way. So if I'm going to spend the money on it, I know then that whole instead of a zip code, right, then I can kind of like do a little map search if you're in real estate, you can do those map searches. Then I'll just kind of map out that mail carrier route and search by that. It takes a little bit more time to do that as far as the mapping goes, but I think it's much more cost effective from a, if you're going to spend the money, do the discounted postage. Yeah, you can look at, who said that? Broker Metrics. Thank you, Alicia. Yeah, there is Broker Metrics is what the our brokers use to look at market share penetration also. Thank you, Alicia.
And be careful not to, okay.
I love when you get a deep sigh.
Well, because, yes, you can do that on Broker Metrics. There are places you can do that. But when we say a competitive analysis, you need to look at it. Like in real estate, like I went to look, how are they marketing the property? Like, what are they doing with their pictures? What are they doing with their descriptions? Like to see how you can be different. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to do that in quantitative terms. Mm-hmm. Okay. So meaning get into the nitty gritty with competitive analysis and be very careful. Be very careful not to get confused with the mass numbers. Okay. Do not run from getting into the nitty gritty when, especially when you're looking at competition. Mm-hmm. The more that you can look at the details of your competition, the more that you're going to know how to differentiate.
Which is the next one. Yeah, Jess, and then we'll move to the next item.
I'm actually really embarrassed to say this. I have never really looked at my competition. I've always just focused on my goals.
That's okay.
And my numbers and just head down like this is what I'm doing. And if they're doing great and I see their signs, I'm like, oh my God, you're doing so amazing. I love you. So what am I looking for? Like, I have no idea where to even start when analyzing my competition.
Well, okay, this is good.
Great question. And great actually, question. You're not alone in that. I guarantee you, if you're saying it, there's 10 other people thinking it right now.
For sure, for sure. So the what I would look at is going back, why we did it in this order was intentional, because at this point, you should have your top three sources from the last 24 months. Mm-hmm. Okay. So in those top three sources, who are your competitors?
Right.
So not, you're not looking at like,
all okay, of
you're
the
not, yeah, you're
area.
Not looking at the entire market and saying, this is what I'm focusing on right now, the entire market. You want to focus on those three sources that we are going to grow.
And
who are your threats? Who are the competitors in those three sources?
And Sarah, let's give an example outside of a geographic area, because I think this might help. So when you look at competitive analysis, people compete for different things. They compete for psychographic space, right? Like your mind share. They compete for demographic space. And so when I think about like one of our data, like one of our things is our key relationships. Like Amber here is on our team too. She can say like key relationships is really important to us. And actually agent to agent relationships are really important to us in our real estate business. And so we looked at nationally who's doing a really good job with building their agent-to-agent relationships and who in Dallas-Fort Worth is competing with us in those spaces. They could be competing with us online. They could be competing with us at conferences. They could be competing with us in email or video. Who's doing a really good job at that and who's closing a lot of business from that, that's taking like mental space away from an opportunity for us? And so then we take a look at that and we say, which we'll get to in just a second, we'll give you the tips then to overcome that. I don't want to ruin the next one. but that would be an example of a non-geographic space. I also think about like, and we're using some real estate terms here, so forgive us if you're not in real estate, if you're not, ask, give us an example, just like we did with Rita with Doctors, and we'll work through that. But like if open houses is your number one source of business, right? Who else is killing it with open houses and converting at a really high level? Go shop them. Go look at their signage. Go look at their advertising. Go look at how they're doing it, right? And really get deep into, are they just lucky, right? And they happen to be in an area, or is there some strategy that they're using that you could be aware of to be able to have a better opportunity with that?
Jen.
Hey, I love this conversation. I'm so excited. So my son's 22. We bought a commercial building at the beginning of this year.
Congratulations.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Awesome.
It is so cute, you guys.
Are you going to do cost segregation on it?
What?
Are you going to do cost segregation on it?
Oh, my gosh. I guess I am.
Okay.
Yes, baby. Yes. Okay. Good job.
Yes. Yes. Carrie's in our group. We're all set.
Okay, good.
It's so cute, a historic building in downtown Main Street.
Love it.
Yes. Scrolling and everything. I mean, and ugly as hell.
Perfect.
Then, yes. Until we ripped it all apart.
That's the best.
But anyway, so Palmer comes to me and he says, Mom, I want to open a business and I have an idea. And I'm like, if you guys don't know, he's like already a pretty well-known singer-songwriter here in Nashville. And I was like, what? You're changing your entire life. What is happening here? He goes, Mom, I'm a Hubble. I can do it. And I was like, okay, do you have any data? You've never run a business. The kid literally spends 3 hours in a coffee shop a day doing competitive analysis.
Nice.
And one of the things that he brought to me the other day was a social analysis, which I think is awesome because his girlfriend is an influencer. And he wanted to see what was out there socially versus what he knew that they were going to be able to pitch to the city.
Wow.
And I thought that was awesome.
That's brilliant.
And yeah. And he was like, so if you do a social analysis, there's nothing like what we're doing. And he also has a full Pinterest board with his color palette.
That's amazing.
And good job, like, Mom.
This is so awesome. But I'm not proud or anything, but
you should wonder where he got all this from.
You should be proud.
It's so hard to figure that out.
But what I was going to say, when we were talking about your competitive analysis, the other thing that he has done is polls. So he's done polls in like all the city social groups. Hey, here's a poll. What business do you think this city most needs if you could put a business in? And it's awesome, the answers he's getting back. How often would you visit? Would you bring your family? What would make you tell people about it? It was really cool.
I love that. That is using, so one of my foundational books is called Remarkable. And it's a lot about the fundamental like beliefs of Chick-fil-A and their business practices in terms of growth, okay? And in it, they totally changed the way I look at competition. Because it used to be, I would look at my competition and be like, you know, like I need to beat them, okay? And what the book talks about is how what we really need to look at is the consumer. What need do they have? What value do they need? Yes. And how can I overgive value to the consumer? Don't worry about the competitor. Instead, worry about the consumer. And what I love about that, Jen, is that the polling is actually finding out what does the consumer want? What does the consumer need?
Yep.
Right? How many times are we putting ourselves in the shoes of those that we serve? And literally spending 4 hours talking about what kept them up last night. Spending 4 hours and talking about what they're worried about right now. Spending 4 hours and being them, putting yourselves in their shoes, thinking about what they need. And then can your business provide that value to them? Yes, do we want to look at our competition and be different? Absolutely. That's why we said it. And don't forget to make sure that we're always putting ourselves in the shoes of those that we serve. Yes. Question. Yes.
That's okay. Hydrate's good.
So my name's Amber. Like, honey, cut it out.
Amber.
And I've been in the business for 17 years. So in this time period, my friends and my family have watched me grow and live my best life and have been inspired to get their license as well. So my family and friends are now my competition.
Sure.
Which is amazing for them, and I'm excited. However, my sphere is thinning because the people that I know that were referring me a ton of business now have their license, and their referrals are going to themselves. So how do we overcome that? Because I love to be an inspiration and to help people and assist them in their best life moving forward, and yet it kind of shoots myself in the foot sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I inspire people all the time to leave my team.
I have two people here.
Like, they're like, you were so inspirational. Like, I'm on my own now. I'm like, yay.
You're training your replacements.
I'm so glad.
Like, I'm training my replacements.
Yeah.
I'm doing a good
job. I have
two
people here that were, like, clients and friends that are now in my market. And I think the thing we have to remember as big thinking leaders is there's always enough room at the table, right? And it's on us
to keep developing our relationships, to keep building our community, right? Like I may have five really good friends, but I've got room for two more, right? There's room. And I think it's on us to never be sitting on our laurels, to make sure that we are fostering those relationships. And you probably have a ton of people in your email list right now and in your database right now that you're not close to, that probably would love to be close to you, that you just don't know about yet. And so it becomes like, what messaging are you giving? How do you have, right, like a pipeline to be able to, like, Amber will tell you, we're redoing the way we're doing our entire pipeline flow right now to be able to take people that don't know us as well and to moving them into that, you know, A tier, to feel like a friend and family in a much more efficient way. And so we're going to get to this. I feel like we're kind of like jumping with your amazing questions into that. So why don't we take, Sarah, why don't we move to the next one?
The other thing, let me just add, we might need to pause questions to the end because we might get through some of the answers.
I'm like, y'all are asking
good questions with what we're building here. And to answer that in addition to what Say said, you also shouldn't be afraid of having conversations with them.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when we expanded to Dallas, and I had no idea, but our databases, Say and I's databases, intersected and we didn't realize it.
Oh, I did.
I know, she realized it. Okay. She realized it. Okay. And so, but she called me.
I did.
She said, can we just talk about how we're going to handle this? Like, and we just had a very good conversation about how we were going to handle it. And it was a win-win.
Absolutely.
And so don't be afraid with them saying, I love what you're doing. I'm here to support you. I'm here to mentor you. I'm here to coach you. Can we talk through how it's going to work with our database? Because it's going to get a little sticky. Yep. Like, don't be afraid of having a direct and loving conversation around something like that. Okay. And honestly, it made our relationship stronger.
It did.
Right?
Yeah.
And it really helped in terms of just clarifying, right? My best friend in the DC metro market is my number one competitor. Yeah. We compete with her on 1 out of 4 listing appointments. She's my best friend. Best friend. Okay, she's a powerhouse. Her name's Jen Young.
She's
okay. She's in the top 10 of KW. She's a powerhouse. Okay. And our script when we're competing is just choose one of us. Like for who, how many are you interviewing? Okay, just pick one of us. Like, and we'll figure it out. Like, and so have open.
How abundant is that? How abundant is that? That, right? That you can have amazing friendships.
Yes.
And still figure out a way to win in the business space too. There is enough out there for all of us. And when we had that conversation, it was not I view you as my competition, right?
No.
When we had the conversation, it was hey, we're going to get sticky sometimes and I love you and I care about you.
Yes.
And welcome to Dallas.
Yes.
And how do we figure this out so that it's a positive?
Yep.
Because at the end of the day, my relationship with you is the most important thing.
Absolutely.
So I want to make sure it doesn't get weird and we don't have conversations about it.
Yep. Yep. And in some transient areas, you've got to look outside your database too.
Yep.
And so you got to look at some non-met lead gen pillars as well.
Thanks for joining us, you guys, in part one of our two-part episode for how to 10X your business in revenue. And we'll be bringing you the second half of this here later this week, I believe. So you watch for a midweek drop from us. And most importantly, we want you to go out there and build your big business, but make sure to go out and build an even bigger life. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you midweek. Bye, guys.